The defensive posture expressed in the Patriot Act is not unique to the U.S. Last January's deadly attack on Charlie Hebdo was met with an outpouring of international support and reflexive calls from French politicians for legal measures to prevent future attacks. Within days, critics were warning that a French Patriot Act was near at hand. But this idea, plausible as it seemed, was roundly dismissed. A New York Times article published a week after the attack quoted French politicians and civil libertarians all citing the many failings of the U.S. Patriot Act and demonstrating why France would never respond in such a manner. With 82% of French citizens rejecting the U.S. version of domestic surveillance, c'est impossible, they said. Well, turns out, au contraire.
Today, France's parliament has passed its own intelligence act.
It's been dubbed the French Patriot Act. That's what critics are calling it, at least. And one of the critics...
The French parliament passed a bill to increase the government's ability to spy on civilians without a court order.
It is a law that would enable a massive uptake of data, allowing the surveillance of many individuals, some of which have nothing to do with terrorism, organized crime, or spying.
Clémence Bechtart is a lawyer for the International Federation for Human Rights and a French citizen. She has been astonished by the speedy shift from ridiculous to reality.
We were very disappointed when we learned that this law was presented by the French government to the parliament, because in the immediate aftermath of the Charlie Hebdo attacks, the official reactions were more confident in saying we need time to understand how this was possible, how three young men born on French soil, French citizens, were able in their 20s and 30s to perpetrate such terrorist acts, horrible terrorist acts in France. This is the true question that we have to answer now. And this was a positive signal from the French government, again, in the immediate aftermath of the Charlie Hebdo attacks. But then things changed, and they decided to use fear that new terrorist attacks could happen to pass this law. This is very disappointing.
It's one thing in a period of panic for politicians and those in the security apparatus to overreact, to overreach with security measures. But you have suggested that this law merely makes official security programs that have either been underway or have been in preparation long before Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah, we're convinced of this. 2 years ago, there were media revelations from two important French newspapers that the French intelligence services already had a program which enabled them to implement surveillance measures, including massive interception of data from French citizens. The French government strongly denied the existence of this program, but then when they came out with this law 2 months ago, they admitted that, in fact, this program already existed and that the purpose of this law was to legalize what is already being used, but without any legal basis or any legal framework. So we think that the French government used the fear of the post-Charlie Hebdo attacks to take out a piece of legislation of the desk drawers and to present it to the French parliament, saying this is the most reasonable way to prevent any terrorist attacks to take place in the future.
Now, there's one thing I want to clarify. It is not as though before January, France was a, here's another one, laissez-faire society that just allowed terrorists to run around willy-nilly. There was a pretty significant existing body of law giving the government fairly broad powers before the terrorist attack.
Yeah, France was one of the first democratic states to enact specific legislation at the end of the 80s when France was under the pressure of attacks coming from terrorist groups in Algeria. France was very proud of its legislation. The WikiLeaks, for example, cables have shown revelations that a very famous anti-terrorist judge in France regularly came to the U.S. embassy in Paris to boast about the merits of legislation that he could use in his everyday work as anti-terrorist judge.
Let's talk about the political context for all of this that makes it perhaps more surprising. And that is, you don't have a right-wing president. Your president isn't Marie Le Pen, and it isn't even George W. Bush. It's François Hollande, who is a socialist. How did that happen?
It's true that we would have more expected such piece of legislation coming out from the Sarkozy administration than from the Hollande administration. But on these considerations, there seems to be a political unanimity in France saying that security is more important than the respect of individual liberties and freedoms.
Is this an unstoppable course of action?
Well, the fact that there are a lot of critics in France to this text will contribute to a true debate. We know that there have already been amendments, but it remains largely insufficient for us. Given the important pressure and opposition to this text by civil society groups and others in France, the President François Hollande has announced recently that he would submit this piece of legislation to the control of the Constitutional Court to see whether this text is in conformity with the Constitution, and in particular, the provisions concerning freedom of expression, right to privacy, and individual liberties as a whole.
Clémence, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Clémence Bechtard is a lawyer for the International Federation for Human Rights.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.